Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Amen. Thank God for the Psalms. If you're ever, whatever feelings you ever have in life, somewhere in the Psalms it's going to speak to them. Amen. So, Psalms chapter 34. Great scripture here. Let's notice what it says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want or lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word today, and I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to entitle the message this morning is just simply Magnify the Lord. In verse 3, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So magnify the Lord. And so we kind of know what magnification is a little bit. If you're past 50, you know we have eyeglasses that make things, that magnify things so we can see. Amen. A few years ago, I didn't need what I'm wearing right now, and I don't need it much now, less than I'd like to want anyway, but I do. And so we magnify what we look as, so we can see better. And I failed to mention to them, I'm reading out of the Goliath study of the Bible this morning. It's giant print. No, actually, it's the New King James Bible. But with all the confusion in our world, people in a state of confusion in our country, reality, most people you see today don't know what to think about the world we live in or what will happen next. And David had to learn this the hard way. He was being chased by King Saul. Saul did everything he could to find David and to kill him if he could, because he was jealous of David, because he knew that David would take over the kingdom. And every king in that day, they wanted their son to succeed them in the kingdom. And so Jonathan was Saul's son, but yet Saul knew, and Jonathan knew, it would be David that would be the next king. But this was very difficult for King Saul, so he hunted the country over, and many times God delivered David from the hand of Saul, lest he should be killed. And so he did not always feel like magnifying the Lord. And here we see in this passage of Scripture, he was meeting before a king of Gath, which was one of the cities of the Philistines. So he wasn't really feeling the mood to magnify the Lord. And he surely felt like complaining or saying, "Why, Lord?" or "Why me, Lord?" But he learned to magnify the Lord above present difficulty and trial. My friend, if we could only learn to do the same, to magnify the Lord above whatever you're going through at the moment, because whatever you're going through, God is above it. God is more powerful than that. God has never been pushed to the side and say, God's never said, I don't know what to do about this. God always knows what to do, and God always does what's best. We can trust Him. We can put our full faith and confidence in Him, that He'll take care of it. Praise the Lord, whatever it is. But we tend to magnify the recent news, or we tend to magnify what is happening at the moment, or we tend to magnify what is annoying. How many have ever been annoyed? I know you have. But we tend to magnify the bad news. My friend, why not magnify the good news? That is Christ, still saves, amen, delivers, sets free. So we need to magnify the Lord. First of all, to magnify the law. Magnify the Lord, we need to exalt His name above all names. As we look here in verses 1 through 3, the writer says, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just when times are good, not just times when I like what's going on, but I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My friend, that speaks of somebody that has a relationship with God, and they are walking with God on a daily basis, not just on Sunday, not just Easter and Thanksgiving, but they're walking with God every day of the week. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If things are going good, I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. If things are going bad, I'm still going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship Him for who He is. Amen. And no matter what I may be facing, God is bigger. God is greater. We're going to come through this. And so therefore, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Amen. And so here the writer says, we find that a generation that we live in today has neglected God as the Creator, and our country, our nation in general, has neglected the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the awe and the respect of who God is, the Creator. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the reverence, respect for God shows that you're being led by a spirit of wisdom, but to reject the fear and the knowledge of God and reverence for Him is foolish. Amen. So respect, reverence, stand in awe of God and at His word. And so we need to rest ourselves upon the Lord and exalt the name of Christ above all names. Praise the Lord. For it's at that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, regardless of whether it's people high up in society or people low down. Amen. Everybody's going to confess Christ as Lord and His name above every name. And we live in a world that has promoted evil instead of good. And in Psalms chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, Proverbs. But one of the six things or seven things that God hates there is stated in Scripture. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And in the abortion mills in our own country, sad to say, there's many people that are shedding innocent blood, and it's not right. It's wrong. It's something that God hates. And so regardless of what people may say or what society may think, God hates that. And instead, we need to magnify the Lord that gives life to start with. But God hasn't changed to fit present society's ideas. Malachi 3:3-6, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. You say, well, people need to change. Yes, they do. A lot of people need to change. There's things about you that you need to change. There's things about me that need to change. And we won't have a testimony service, so we can figure out what it is. But God doesn't need to change, because God is right, God is true, God is holy, God is pure, God is perfect. He's perfectly holy, He's perfectly righteous. And my friend, He doesn't need to change. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. He says, therefore you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. We should not change, you and I, in our worship and our magnifying the Lord. We shouldn't go to church today and say, well, I'm going to figure out what everybody's wearing and what everybody's doing, and I just want to see this as a social gathering to see what everybody's doing, what's going on among other people. My friend, when we meet for God here, we meet to worship God. We meet to uplift the name that's above every name. We meet here to exalt Christ and Him crucified and risen again from the dead. Praise the Lord. We exalt the Christ, the Creator of the ends of the earth, Amen. That's what we gather for, to fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and also fellowship with one another. When I say amen. No. But we exalt the name of Christ. We gather. We magnify the Lord. Why? Because God Almighty is still in charge. He's not affected by society. God is not affected by anyone's ideas, words, or stand on anything. And so we should bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because in Christ is everything that you and I need. And God created us. And God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need. And I quoted it before the service started, or sometime after it started. Psalms 103, 1 through 5, where it says, He's the one who forgives all of our iniquities. How many times has God forgiven you? A bunch of times, if you're honest. Amen. And I was in a Sunday school class years ago, and somebody else and I didn't agree with him. I just started to preach then, but he was teaching Sunday school, so I couldn't interrupt. And he said, if you sin once you've been saved, those sins won't ever be forgiven. And I started telling him right there, then you need to repent right now. I hope God changes his mind. But who forgives all of our iniquities. The God is a God of forgiveness, a God of love. That doesn't mean we can go off and sin randomly as we please, but it does mean that God is merciful. Who heals all of our diseases, Psalms 103. Thank God that He heals our diseases, and He heals people physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. God heals people. Amen. And God who redeems your life from destruction. How many times has God saved us from what would have been destruction had He not intervened? We don't even know the times that God has protected us, but He has. But it says He also crowns us with loving kindness. He satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. That's Psalms 103, 1 through 5. So many words. So we should bless the Lord at all times. He is still the Savior. He's still the way, the truth, and the life. And when we magnify the Lord, shouldn't we magnify the truth? Since we hear lies all the time. But let's magnify the truth, which is Christ. The truth of God's Word. Let's magnify the eternal life that we've received. Amen. Let's magnify what God has done for us. We're not here to magnify people or magnify man. The world does plenty of that. Amen. But yeah, we're here to magnify the Lord. Say, God, You're the reason that I have eternal life. You're the reason I'm on my way to heaven instead of hell. You're the reason why I have hope today, and I have hope beyond this world. And when I don't have an answer, You're the one that has the answer. And therefore, we magnify the Lord. Amen. We magnify the Lord because He's still the light of the world, even though we live in darkness. And we are headed for eternal light. My friend, I can't wait. Praise the Lord till we get there. Amen. In that city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. In a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm ready to go. Should He call today, let's go. Amen. We're ready. Hallelujah. And He's still the resurrection and the life. Amen. He still speaks life into people's dead situations. He can resurrect people from the dead spiritually when He saves them. He can resurrect marriages and homes and relationships of all kinds. You can say, well, I can do this or I can do that, or I can have doctor this or doctor that to help me here and there and the other. And God may use doctors, and God does, but God is able to do all things Himself. And we need to just magnify Him. We magnify Him as the hope of the Christian. Amen. Without Him, we'd have no hope. Titus 2:13 says we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That would solve all problems right now. If Jesus had just come right now, if you're saved, you don't happen to ever have another worry, regardless, for eternity. Amen. You say, well, when is He coming? I don't know. I just know He is. He said He was. Praise the Lord. So we can magnify the Lord because He is, according to His name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. We can magnify the Lord because He is still Jehovah Shalom, which means God is peace. And we can just also magnify the Lord as Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner, because the banner of the cross hangs over us. Praise the Lord. He's not only the cross, but His resurrection from the dead, His work of the cross that delivered us from our sins and give us eternal life instead of eternal judgment. We're blessed to have God, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, with us. Praise the Lord. Second of all, magnify the Lord because we know He delivers. Here in our scripture, verse 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, we need to look here. If we look at the background of this Psalms, this is when this Psalm, David was running from Saul, and he had figured out that he could not escape Saul, and finally, one of these days, that Saul would catch him and kill him, and so he escaped to the land of all place, to the land of the Philistines. And David had fought against the Philistines, and David had killed Goliath. But he goes to the city of Gath, which was a Philistine city, around Route 1 Gath. Anyway, so he went there, and he cried out, and he said, "The Lord delivered me from all of my fears," verse 4, "from the fear of death and hell." That's what God did for us at the cross. Amen. And God did so many things for us at the cross, did powerful things. Praise the Lord. The reason we have hope today because of what Jesus did at the cross, his death and his resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, that we're here to wait for his Son from heaven. The book of 1 Thessalonians, all five chapters mention the coming of the Lord at some place in each chapter. Look at it. Amen. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. My friend, we got a reason to magnify the Lord. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. David's present situation in fleeing from Saul brought him fear. He fled to the king of Gath, the Philistines. Now let's think back just a minute. Now, David killed Goliath of Gath with a slingshot and a stone. I mean, he sunk it between his eyes, and he fell down dead. And more than that, David climbed on top of him, took Goliath's own sword, cut his head off. I don't think David wallowed around in defeat. I think that's victory. So he killed Goliath of Gath, but this was many years later. And now he goes to the city of Gath. I don't know why he went there, to escape Saul. But no doubt David remembers that Goliath had four brothers. And some people believe that was when he went to battle against Goliath, he picked up five smooth stones out of the brook. And some people believe that had one stone for each giant. I don't know. But we didn't know that he had four brothers. And maybe these were giant people like Goliath was about 9 foot tall. That's taller than I ever hoped to be. And maybe David was magnifying this. Now he to escape, because they remembered David in Gath. This is the one that had cried out, the people had cried out, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. They remember that. But now he knew he would be under judgment, they would kill him there, but he pretends madness. And he knew what fear was. He feared here. He needed deliverance from fear. Amen. You wonder about somebody's about to chop your head off. You know, if you don't fear then, you're not going to fear at all. But he was full of fear. But God would help him. And even in the midst of this, and when this psalm came out of this experience, he could still write, "Magnify the Lord with me." Amen. When somebody's about to kill you, he began to magnify and worship the God who had delivered him from King Saul so many times, and God would deliver him yet again. Hallelujah. And he pretends madness before the king, and the king of Gath said, "Do I have need to have madmen to come here?" And so they took David out of the presence of this king of Gath, and it was a good thing. And so he knew what fear was. He needed deliverance. And now, today, we live in a society that's filled with fear. What's happening to the economy? I'm not here to give you a report, a news report, but what will happen to our freedoms as a nation, as a people? All of this concerns people because we're in godless leadership. Man, and I say that not as a cut to anybody, but as a truth. I mean, when you vote for the murdering of innocent child and innocent babies in the womb before they're ever born, that is not a good leadership. That is absolute murder. It's first-degree murder. Man. But we must not focus on what could happen. Let's focus on what God says. Amen. Let's focus, and God gives us some scripture. God gives us some promises of what he says. Amen. The book of Isaiah chapter 43, there's one passage of scripture I love there. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine." That's what God says of you and I, His children. He says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle upon you." That is the wonderful God that we serve. We're promised certain victory ahead. It's time to magnify the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to lift Him up. It's time to exalt the name that's above every name. It's time to give Jesus praise. He's worthy of all praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Praise the Lord. Certain victory is ahead. And God is ahead of us. He has this under control. He's done this before. He's had this. He has this. He had this before it ever started. It is a finished victory. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us magnify the Lord. Amen. And God, what Jesus did on the cross was a victory then. It's a victory now. It'll always be a victory. Amen. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, it was not, "Thank God this is over." It was a shout of praise. It is finished. The plan of redemption was complete. Now all, whosoever will, could be saved. Praise the Lord. So God did not intend us to live in constant threatening fear. We could if we just look at the world situation. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. And so God, that's 2 Timothy 1:7, God had not given us a spirit of fear. We can fear if we want to, but it didn't come from God. And we're not talking about a natural fear that's good for you. I mean, if you're standing on the edge of the cliff and several thousand feet of air, you have a right to be fearful. Back up. Don't go forward. Amen. You know, a sound mind God gave it to, expects us to use it. But God has not, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives us the power to say no to the world and say yes to Him. And we do have divine help. Let's notice it here in Scripture. Psalm 34, verse 6. "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Amen. You say, well, if you cry out, you're admitting weakness. No, you're not. You're admitting that I need God. Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. Angels are, you know, we can always know that deliverance is on the way. And I want to bring a passage of Scripture to your mind here, Philippians 4 and 11. We need to understand Philippians is a prison epistle. And I've heard these verses misused by people, especially the Prosperity Committee, whoever that is. And Paul says, writes these words from prison. Amen. And we must remember that he could speak these words from prison. He said, "Not I speak in the regard to need, for I have learned." He didn't always know, but he had learned, "in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content." I heard a young preacher years ago say, that doesn't matter if you're from Texas or Oklahoma. No, he's not talking about what state you are in the U.S., but whatever state of mind or place that you're in at the moment. He said, "I've learned to be content, even in a prison." In verse 12, he says, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." My friend, I believe that when Paul was in that jail, he had learned to magnify the Lord above all that he would go through, or all that he would see, or all that he would suffer. Even he would die a martyr's death, but he magnified the Lord, and he said, "I can do all things. I can do this because Christ strengthens me. I can suffer what is not any good here in the jail." He said, "I can take the jail food." He said, "I can take everything that I've done, but I have learned to be hungry and to abound. I've learned to have plenty. I've learned how to be in need, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." My friend, can we magnify the Lord together and know that He will supply whatever is needed? Praise the Lord. Can believe that deliverance is on the way. Verse 6, "This poor man cried out, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." And I'm going to tell you, David had a lot of troubles to be saved out of. He went through terrible things, but God never forsook him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, angels are God's messengers. They're not to be prayed to or worshipped, as some would tell you to. And I've known of people that are always looking around to see if their angel was there. But you can't see them because they're in the spirit world. But there are thousands of them. And the Bible tells us that. And so they are not to be worshipped or to prayed to or anything else. They are simply messengers of the Lord to help the believer. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? And so, yes, God does send his angels to encamp around about us, amen, and delivers us. And don't get, you say, well, my angel failed today. No, he didn't. Just let God magnify the Lord, amen. And so we're not going to call out this angel or that angel, not to make a worship of angels out of it. Because there shouldn't be. Worship goes to God, him alone. Praise the Lord. But also the affliction of the righteous. Let's notice that third point of the message. The affliction of the righteous, verse 19, skipping way ahead there. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Man, that's a wonderful promise. You say, well, if you have enough faith, you'll never go through anything. He says here, the afflictions of the righteous, doesn't he? Okay. I'm not trying to predict some affliction that's going to come on me. I'm not wondering what the next affliction is going to be. No. We don't live that way. We live in faith. But yet, afflictions do happen. Sometimes sickness, sometimes accidents, sometimes sorrow, sometimes worry, sometimes discouragement can become afflictions. And they want to set up camp in your life. But my friend, if you begin to magnify the Lord, it'll help you get over the affliction, whatever it may be. Don't magnify the affliction. Magnify the Lord instead. We can look at things and say, well, this thing is just too big for me. And the more we look at it, the more it begins to magnify, and bigger it gets. And the more you think about it and talk about it, the more bigger it gets. And somebody got a last word in on you, and you, if you had the chance, you'd tell them off if you saw them again. And you get to imagine how big a word you would say and what you would tell them if you got to. Don't magnify that. Amen. Matter of fact, crucify it and bury it. It's not of God. Amen. So, magnify the Lord with me. And so there's afflictions. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but afflictions are temporary. Blessings of God are eternal. Praise the Lord. We're a blessed people. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and God, and Paul here sees it as a light affliction because it would be temporary, is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Whatever you're going through, it's not going to last forever. It's temporary. Things which are not seen are eternal. What God has done for us is eternal. Eternal life, eternal hope, eternal presence. Amen. We're going to be in His wonderful presence forever, and that's going to be eternal. Things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. And so God is faithful to deliver. It will not always be this way. Remember, you're not alone. You know, tough times don't last, but tough Christians do last because they learn to depend on God. Even David here, he was not alone, although Saul was seeking to kill him. We need to understand something. If Christ is in your heart and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are not alone in your trial. You're not alone in your last sickness. You're not alone. Think back. You are not alone in your last fear. You are not alone in your last temptation. You are not alone in your last helpless feeling. We need to understand we are not helpless. We serve a mighty God, creator of the heaven and the earth. He's able to do all things. He's mighty and powerful. Spoke worlds and planets into existence. Rotation of planets. He did all of that. I think, friend, he is qualified to help you when you feel helpless. Because you're not helpless. Amen. And so, we're not helpless. Therefore, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. My friend, God has got you. It's going to be okay. God has no shortage on anything. He says, the king of beasts, the lions may suffer and hunger, but the Lord provides for his own. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. God has no shortage of anything. And we can concentrate on living in the fear, reverence, and respect for the Lord. Amen. Verse 11, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. That's a work there. And your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. His fear, ears are open unto their cry. Amen. Let's revere the Almighty, who is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. And he's able to take care of you. Amen. And so whatever you're going through today, I want to tell you, instead of the problem, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. He's better. He's going to take care of you. Amen. You know this by experience. Most of you do. Do you know Christ is your Savior? You know he's been there. He's never forsaken you. You may feel like he has at times, but he hadn't. He's always present. Praise the Lord.